encourage you to open your book to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7 through 20. And we will continue that story that I was sharing with you 2 weeks ago on a course of recovery. Of course, 2 weeks ago we focused on families, but today we're going to focus on friendship. And as you sing this song, what a friend we have in Jesus. You see, everyone can really feel the closeness in the hymns, I hope, which portray the love of our Lord. If you look back to that song, what a friend we have in Jesus. This song is so moving, so lovely, and so filled with love that our God has for all the people. Continuing to search for the 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7 through 20. But you know, in this song that you just sung a moment ago, some of our friends could share our griefs and could share our burden, but only our Lord Jesus, that not only can bear and share our griefs, but He can bear our sin. He can take everything that we have in the weight of care and worry, and He does it for us. He is that kind of friend that as you sing that song, you would know that there are many times perhaps we have forgotten about His friendship. The kind of friendship that He has given us, which if we would just exercise that privilege as we sung, to give everything unto Him in prayer, that He could bear our sins and our griefs. You know, we often forfeit the peace, as we sung, that He intended for us to have. We often carry the needless pain because we did not take it all to God. We did not take it unto this friend that we have. And so today I'm going to continue on this course of recovery, focusing on friendship, because we not only want to focus on the friendship that we have in Jesus, but also hopefully as we study this recovery of friends, that we learn to appreciate friendship even more. By now I hope you have found the 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7 through 20. If you would stand in honor of reading God's words together with me, we'll read it together. First Samuel chapter 30, verse 7. It begins and it reads, "Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, 'Bring me the ephah.' Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?' 'Pursue them,' he answered. 'You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue.' David and the 600 men with him came to Bisa Ravine, where some stayed behind, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. But David and 400 men continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and 2 cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. David asked him, 'To whom do you belong and where are you come from?' He said, 'I'm an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kerethites and the territory belonging to Judah and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag.' David asked him, 'Can you lead me down to this raiding party?' He answered, 'Swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them.' he let David down, and there they were scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from the dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away, except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything that Amalekite had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." Interesting story, isn't it? Let's go to the Lord for a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for today, and Lord, I thank you for this time. What a privilege it is that I have to share a few words and thoughts that were from you and that I could experience and I can share with my brothers and sisters. Father, I pray that you will help us to study this story and continue on this understanding on how we can recover our friends, our families, and our relationship with you at times. Father, I pray that you will help us to understand the importance of our family and our friends who you have placed in our lives, and yet at times our relationship were under challenge, and how we recover our families and our friends. Father, I thank you for this story that you allow us to now look at and the time that we have together. I pray that, Father, you will reveal your love, your heart to us as we open our hearts and our eyes, that we will be able to see you and we will experience your friendship as we will have in your Son, Jesus Christ. I give you thanks and praises in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As you read those few verses that we read together, my first question for you is, what are David's friends that you can read in these few verses? I heard priest. Did I? What are some of the friends you can identify from this story? His men, his fighting men. He has 600 of them, right? Now, by this time, 200 of them got a little too exhausted and they couldn't cross that narrow ravine, but he got 600 men fighting for him. What are some of the other friends that he has in this story that you read? In the Egyptian, isn't it interesting? You need to realize, I can preach 30 minutes just on that Egyptian, because it's very, very rare for you to find an Egyptian in the family of Amalekite and now fighting against Israelites. But I'm not going to delve into that subject. But I just want to let you know that God oftentimes plays someone that you wouldn't have thought of, plays someone that is so important in your life that is intended to be your friend. Of course, David has God, he has priests, and he has his fighting men, and now along his life at this particular time, he has a friend that is Egyptian. This friend that he could use in a little bit as we go into it. You see, in our boundary studies as we had together this morning, and those that have heard about what we are studying right now, we knew that friends are not easy to come about. The true friends, the good friends that you have, are not easy to come about. It requires time, it requires investment, it requires togetherness, it requires a lot of mutual sharing of activities and values and things that you do together. David and his fighting men have been together for quite some time. And of course, as you remember, and those that were part of the message that I shared 2 weeks ago, that he was in this process of recovering his lost family and the families of those fighting men that he has. But some of the things that we need to understand in order to fully understand how we recover friends, or how we use our friends, how we work with our friends, there's three very important things that I want to share with you today. And the number one is about affection. David loved his men as much as his men loved him. They were in this thing together. They have fought in many battles. And for now, what they love jointly, which is their wives and their children, they are on a common mission. They are on a common mission to go and recover their families. You know what friends do, if you recall, in your own personal lives, of those friends that you have come to know, are the ones that always are there with you and be willing to do anything for you. Friends are there to encourage one another, and friends are there that are being very real to you, being personal to you, being good and kind to you. Those friends you want to have together. You experience love and you experience the togetherness together as you experience that kind of friendship. Here King David definitely experienced that with his men. In fact, his fighting men were willing to go to the extent of laying down their lives for him. If you read David's stories, he and his men were very close. And in fact, up here, if you read verse 17, it says very clearly that David and his men fought from dusk till the evening of the next day. So that's almost 2 full days they were fighting in order to recover their families. There's a lot of love and affections that he would have with his men, that they were into this thing together and they have a common mission to accomplish. You know, best friends are oftentimes those friends that are in times of troubles. In this case, they were in times of need. And on that common mission, they were going out to recover their families. In fact, Solomon, the wisest man, human being ever lived on earth, says in Proverbs 17:17 that, you know, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times, good times and bad times. And yet he adds another sentence, and he said that a brother is born for times of adversity. That means true friends, to a point, they would become like brothers, because they would be going out for each other in any times, in good times and in bad times. And we know that also in John 15:13, we read that greater love has no one than this, that he will lay down his life for his friends. We know the definition of friendship, of one that will love the other person to such a degree that will be willing to lay down their life for each other. Here David and his men were fighting together for the same common cause. And the Word of God says that if we, who are his believers, that in that context of John 15, that Jesus himself will call us his friends. That Jesus himself loved us so much that he did not treat us as just a servant in the master's home. He treated us as his friends. And it is because of that friendship he desired that we be close to him, that we will be loving him as he will be loving us, that we will be in him as he is in us, that we will be like that vine and branches, that we are in each other, loving And that is a very important part of a friendship, the affection. It's a very important part, because if you miss that part, and then you try to recover a friendship with someone that perhaps you have lost, or a relationship that has been damaged or impaired, and you don't know how to recover that friend, number one element, affection, love. Remember love. That's what we discussed today during the Sunday school times, when we know that love is the most important element, and forgiveness, right? For you to restore and reconcile to that good relationship. And Jesus wants us to always have a good relationship with Him. If you remember the songs that we sing, beautiful song, what a friend we have in Jesus. In all kind of situations, in all kind of weather conditions in the friendship, that He is always there. So number one is affection. Number two, the cause of recovery to good friendship is attachment. Attachment. Now, you may be surprised to use the word attachment-based and not performance-based, and you don't know what does that mean. You know, you have relationships in different dimensions, and in our boundaries, we study, you know, you have relationship with one another in the marriage situation between spouses, in our as parents and children and co-workers and so forth. And you perhaps will think that friends is the only one relationship that requires attachment. Attachment meaning the reason we are together is because we have something interest in common. We have shared hobby. We have same common interest. We have time together and we play balls and we do other things. And friendship are attachment based. Okay? Because we share activities. And then we think about all this other relationship like husband and wife, we thought they are more functional based. Meaning, you know, we're just being there together, we're married, so don't need to think about attachment too much. Don't need to think about the activities that we have to share in common interest and in a level that will cause more attachment. We think of it more functional. Let me give you another example. In a co-worker situation or employment situation, your employer stipulates your job description and you are going to fulfill those job descriptions, so your relationship is more function-based, right? It doesn't matter if you share a common interest and activities with your employer, you are going to do what you do. Well, the tendency of us as we work on those relationships is we focus on the function. And we again forget about the attachment. That once we have attachment to each other in all relationships, those even function-based relationships will become more interesting, will become far more enriching or enriched. Okay, so with that being said, if you look at this second verse of John chapter 15, it states that Jesus does not consider us as His true friends unless we obey His orders. Right? Unless we follow His commandments, because that's what the scripture says in John 15, 13 through 15. In other words, God demanded us or commanded us out of love, not out of performance. God never say, I'm going to wait until you become a little more perfect. I'm going to wait until you become a little better before I would use you, before I would love you. God never look at you in that kind of condition. And yet He does look at you and say, are you going to follow my commandments? Are you going to look at me and read the words that I have for you and show me that you are willing to invest time with Him as your friend? Friendship are very valuable because through them we receive encouragement, consolation, we receive love, we receive fellowship, and we receive affirmation. If you look at the scriptures, and for me, I have found a very special relationship between two people in the Bible that portray the perhaps close to being perfect loving relationship, and that's what you find in David and Jonathan. Great example of friendship. The two of them, they were attached to each other. They loved each other. They so much respected each other. And it's very important that you have friends that are there for you no matter what they are, no matter where they are in terms of what they do. Again, in the boundary study, and let me give you another illustration. You as say as husband and wife, you don't have to expect each other as to how well you have done things in order for you to be a good husband and wife, right? I hope you as husbands don't say going home and say, I wish you have cooked that a little better. I usually you have cooked with more seasons and things. Do you evaluate them by that? You don't, right? You are attached to each other. You are looking at each other and saying, thank you for what you do. Thank you for us being together. Just that togetherness, that attachment alone would build up, would allow you to develop that relationship. And another thing that we have learned as we were going through this study was that the friends were there because that they share a mutual activities and values and missions and things that you do that you enjoy each other. The affection that we talk about, the interest that you have together, the activities, the relationship that you enjoy just being together is very important. But there will be times that that relationship is put to test. There will be times when difficulties arise. And friends are there when they have the most open communication, when they have the noblest suffering, when they are there being the most readily available person to go through with you. And that, once again, requires attachment between the two of you. And if you want to recover a friend that you thought that you have impaired, that's how you want to approach it, is look at the attachment. Where are we attached to one another? Again, limitation, we can't go into the relationship between Jonathan and David too much. But these two great men of God have shared their lives, have struggled through different circumstances, and they have what the world would consider as conflict of interest, because David was going to be the next king, but by the human understanding at that time, Jonathan was going to be the king because he was the son of Saul. And yet, they can let go of those conflicts, which was absolutely impossible to overcome from human level, but because of their love for one another, and because of the attachment that they have for each other, nothing can come in between that kind of friendship. Nothing can damage that kind of relationship. The third element that I want you to also pay attention to is affirmation. How we get consolation or agreements when we have a mutual difficulty to go through or a situation that we don't know how to deal with. If you remember in this song that we sang, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, it reads, have we trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a beautiful lyrics. And I want you to look at the lives of Joseph's screen now together with me to better understand how can he come up with all this beautiful words. you need to understand that he is one that was born into a very wealthy family in Ireland. And he yet was a man that was known to be a person that knew tragedy very well. Because on the night before he was to be married, his fiancée drowned. And then it was soon after that that he decided to leave his native country to migrate to Canada. That's from Europe to America. And he eventually ended up in Port Hope, Canada, and was devoted to being a good friend and helpers in that place. But something else came up later on in 1855, where he was living in Canada, and he came across a news that was about his mother that was seriously ill. And in that particular time, he knew that he must comfort her in some way, and so he wrote him a poem. And this poem that he wrote is the one that we sung. The song that he wrote in order to comfort his mother was later on became one of the most loved hymns all over the world, and it certainly is mine. You see, a friend is there for affirmation to each other in time of difficulty in particular. And there are times that values and respects and activities and all of the things that we share as friends are important. But once that friendship you see as something that you need to regain or to recover, you must go back to this 3-point of checklist at least to use as a good tool to help you recover a good relationship of a friend. And God certainly wants us to be good friends unto each other and to be a good friends of His. Let me conclude with this survey that one time I shared with you as to how will people define friends. There was a British publication that once offered a prize for the best definition of friends. And among the thousands of answers that they have received, some of them read like this: a friend is one who multiplies joy, divides griefs, one whose honesty is invaluable. That's a pretty good definition. Another definition says, a friend is one who understands our silence. One more definition says, a friend is a volume of sympathy bound in cloth. That's a beautiful definition. One more says, a friend is a watch that beats true for all time and never runs down. But the winning definition is the one that is shown here. It's a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. You think about that. A friend is one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. You see, friendship is a way that we can show our love unto each other as we are commanded to do as being a follower of Christ, but certainly as friends to each other, friendship through which we share our sorrows and times of need and good times together of joy and happiness, activities and things that we do which enhance the quality of our friendship. The true friendship needs to evidence that, needs to have the kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and with all of the things that you would hope that friends would do, they'll be doing that. They'll be there for you all the time. Love knows no limit. And love hopes for the best in every situation. In a friendship and in the recovery of friendship, if you would notice that the same love that God has for us, that He would intend for us to have for one another, that through affection, through our care and love and thought for one another, that through the common sharing of activities and values and things that we do together, that relationship is built up and is restored when it's needed. It's very interesting. Again, let's go back to that lyrics of that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, because later on, many years later, a friend came across that poem and asked that author and say, you know, who is it that do this? And he said it was him, but he says, the Lord and I did it between us. A common share activities that is going to exhaust the lordship and the goodness of our God is something that is always going to be everlasting. Something that you invest into the lives of others for the sake of God. Something that you know that you do because God wanted you to. Something that you invest into the life of individual that you will call friend, and that relationship will last eternally. Again, as a concluding remark, I would encourage that you, when you stand and you sing the song, you will find another one that talk about friendship that we will find in Jesus. No, not one. Only Jesus is the kind of friends that is humble as he is, that we can count on. That today I pray and ask that through the understanding of this message, you come to understand the importance of friendship that you have for one another and for those that you love, the friendship relationship that you cherish. But most important of all, in times of need, in times of difficulties and trials and temptations as we send, the troubles that come into the lives, the difficulties that we are going to experience through different circumstances, that we must not forget. We have a friend. We not only have a friend for one another as a church family, but that we have a friend in Jesus. One that can relate to us in all circumstances. One that can understand and can sympathize the weaknesses that we have. One that knows everything about our lives. And yet one that says, in everything that you do, all your cares and your concerns and your worries, take it to Him in prayer. Let us stand as we have this time of invitation together, that you follow the Spirit and seek Jesus' friendship for your life.